This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. The Republican presidential candidates are trying to round up votes ahead of Saturday's primary in South Carolina. Nikki Haley zeroing in on Donald Trump's legal troubles.
He's gotten more unstable and unhinged. He spends more time in courtrooms than he does on the campaign trail.
After criticism over his lack of a direct response to the death of Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny, Mr. Trump told a Fox town hall,
Navalny is a very sad situation, and he's very brave. He was a very brave guy because he went back. He could have stayed away. And frankly, probably would have been a lot better off staying away and talking from outside of the country as opposed to having to go back in, because people thought that could happen, and it did happen.
In Russia today,
Navalny's mother has now filed a lawsuit over Russian officials' refusal to release her son's body, but it won't be heard in court before next month. She's been trying to retrieve his body since last Saturday, a day after he died. Navalny's widow claims the Kremlin is refusing to release his body as part of a cover-up. The cause of his death is still unknown.
Correspondent Cammy McCormick reports a dual Russian-American citizen, a ballerina, has been charged with treason in Russia after she donated $50 to a Ukrainian charity. Lawyers for the American government are arguing at court in London today for the extradition of WikiLeaks' Julian Assange. CBS's Vicky Barker has details from London.
Day two of the two-day hearing here, and U.S. prosecutors are arguing why Julian Assange must face espionage charges in the U.S. over leaked classified documents. The WikiLeaks founder hasn't been in court for this last-ditch attempt to prevent his extradition. His wife and lawyer says he's too frail.
Little girl has died after playing in the sand at the beach with a friend in Fort Lauderdale. CBS Miami's Anna McAllister says they were digging a hole with shovels.
That hole was about 5 to 6 feet deep when it collapsed, completely trapping the girl under the sand while the boy was buried up to his chest on top of her.
Beachgoers dug furiously to try to save the child. Jacqueline Ellis still has hope her pet survived after California's pounding rain and windstorms this week knocked her house down in Auburn.
I think my cat might still be buried under there because he hasn't come home and I can't find him. He was in the house when it happened.
As the FDA considers banning sales of menthol cigarettes, a new study shows it could go a long way to reducing smoking rates. Here's CBS's Michael George.
Researchers in North Carolina looked at menthol bans in Canada, Europe, and elsewhere. They found while 50% of menthol smokers switched to non-menthol cigarettes, almost a quarter of menthol smokers quit altogether.
S&P futures down 12. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The University of Wisconsin in Madison must now accept all high school graduates from the state who finish in the top 5% of their class. All other state universities have to admit grads who finish in the top 10%. The new law is part of the deal to release state money in exchange for diversity program cuts. Governor Evers signed the bill into law Tuesday. Wisconsin State Senate Republicans are firing four more of Governor Evers' appointees, including former Lieutenant Governor Barbara Lawton. She was serving on the UW Hospitals and Clinics Board, Democratic Senator Kelda Royes.
She did nothing but serve our state well and continues to do so. And yet, this body is going to reject her because of pure partisanship.
Republicans also fired Tom Ames from the Natural Resources Board. I'm Nate Wiggehoe, Civic Media News.
The Brewers expect to win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. That's what Brewers owner Mark Antanasio told reporters at the team's spring training camp in Arizona. Despite releasing several veterans and trading Corbin Burns to Baltimore, the Brewers owner says he has an expectation to win this year. He went on to say there's no deal finalized yet to re-sign Brandon Woodruff to a two-year contract. College hoops, number 7th-ranked Marquette will play their next three games at home, beginning tonight against DePaul. The Golden Eagles have played 6 of their last 8 on the road. The Badgers got a win over Maryland in Madison. The final 74-70, thanks to efficient shots from the foul line, 28 of 31. Green Bay Packer A.J. Dillon was at the game courtside.
Hey, it's awesome. It's always great coming down to Madtown. My wife is an alum. My sister-in-law is a cheerleader. So we're repping Wisconsin cheerleading and the basketball team today. It's great to come down and show support.
That's Packers running back A.J. Dillon. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
It is going to be mostly sunny and mild today. We'll get to around 54 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the southwest at 5 to 10. Tonight, mostly cloudy, 35. Tomorrow, a little light rain in the morning, then partly cloudy, 49. On Friday, sunny, 38. But we will bounce back with 40s and 50s into the weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wasota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Good morning, and it is now 6 minutes past the hour of 7 o'clock. This is normally where you would find Pat Breitlove at Up North News. Right now, he is somewhere south, Mr. Breitlove is, getting a little well-deserved rest and time off. Up North News with Pat will be back next week. Right now, I'm Todd Alba reporting live here from our Hayward studios at WBZH, the Buzz of the North in downtown Hayward, as we prepare today for the kickoff of the 50th annual Birkenbeiner, American Birkenbeiner ski race, which would normally go from Cable to Hayward here in downtown. But because of the warm temperatures and lack of snow, they're making snow in the evenings and doing a 10-kilometer loop in the Cable area, but we'll still be talking to people throughout the week involved with the Birkenbeiner. Still a big thing here for people in the Hayward area as well. Cable's only about 20 miles or so north of here, so it's kind of a greater Cable Hayward area. So here all week, and Mr. Greg Bach, per usual, joins us from the studios at WAUK down in the southern part of the state in Waukesha. Mr. Bach, how in the heck are you?
I'm great.
Really? Are you really? Or are you just Talk to us.
Okay, here's the thing. Your setup is gorgeous, dare I say palatial.
Well, it looks better on camera, but thanks. I appreciate
Todd,
it.
Todd, it's called a compliment. Take it, say thank you. Move on. All right.
Thank you.
Then DJ Flip Switch comes into the mix here. From her home with a gorgeous set layout, beautiful camo work. And then I look like I am broadcasting from an abandoned hospital.
Oh, come on now. You look fantastic. Look, it has the nice Waukesha sign behind
me. Oh, that's the fine. Sign looks beautiful. I mean, don't get me wrong. That's the work of Rebecca. God love her. Right. But like, it's hey everybody, I'm here to bring you radio. I'm your Uncle Ronnie. Yeah.
I will say Todd's setup though, it's got the firewood and everything. So relaxing.
Well, thank you. joining us is our fantastic meteorologist, Brittany Merlot. Brittany, how the heck are you? I need more coffee. It's been a short night, put it that way.
He's feeling the Hayward vibes.
Yes, that's exactly there, it. So. At least I'm not as bad as the CNN reporter reporting at the White House yesterday. Did you see that?
No.
It was fantastic. She said right during the broadcast on CNN, she said that Biden was because he wants to get tougher and talk about all the crazy bleep that Trump is doing. And she said the word. So at least I didn't go there. I didn't go there yet this morning. Brittany Merlot, it's great to have you on. How in the world are you? She is a fantastic meteorologist here. And I was talking to Greg Bach earlier, happy that we're going to have you on, because temperatures here in Hayward this morning, I think we're at 27 at last check, and in parts of northern Wisconsin, we are in the mid to upper 20s, right near that freezing mark, as you well know, is causing for some slick roads. But in the southern part of the state, already in the 40s, Brittany, as Craig Kilborn once said, what up?
Seriously, right? So we've got this low pressure system that is hanging out into Iowa, and it's going to be pushing northwest throughout the state today. So you can see the warm temperatures sitting down south. I mean, it's 45 degrees into Middleton right now, but then you go north, it is 18 degrees into Merrill. So a huge temperature difference. But what's going to happen as we go through our day today is we're going to see some near record warmth down south. We're talking mid to upper 50s and towards Madison, Richland Center, even in Janesville as well. So extreme heat and warmth as the low pressure nears. It's going to pull those winds out of the south and give us some nice temperatures, but sunshine throughout the day, and up north we'll climb into the low 50s, upper 40s, closer to Lake Superior and Hayward area, but just some above average temperatures. I mean, this is 20 degrees above where we should be for this time of year. In fact, our low temperatures is where our highs are usually.
That's just crazy. Talk to us. I'm not sure if you're a bilingual or even if you need to be, but explain to us a little bit about El Nino, because my understanding is that part of these wacky temperatures and lack of snow here at the American Porcupine or at Hayward is due to the El Nino.
Absolutely. So these warmer temperatures, the above average winter, and the lack of snowfall and precipitation are all signs of El Nino winters. Now, we do have some good news as we go into spring, but that's not going to help the Berkey. It does rapidly want to flip to a La Nina. So that's going to give us an active spring system as we move forward in the next few months. But right now, it's not helping the Berkey. I know they've struggled in years past and had to cancel it. So I'm glad that they're still doing something and they're figuring out ways to make the snow. And what a great event. If you've never been, go
have you
and
been to
bring
it?
The cowbell. Oh, I love it. I go all the time.
That's fantastic. Are you coming over this week?
You know, I wish, but it is my mom's birthday this weekend, so I've got to go south to see her.
You know, I did something both for you really special. I want to let you know. I secured a guest for this hour. I did. I secured the guest. This is El Nino. He's going to talk to you really quick about. So really quick here, El Nino. Introduce yourself.
I am El Nino. All other tropical storms must bow before El Nino. Yo soy El Nino. For those of you who don't habla español, El Nino is Spanish for the Nino. Yes.
Thank you very much, Mr. Nino. We appreciate you being on the show today.
That was great. The incomparable Chris Farley, right?
Yeah, that was Chris Farley. That was when he hosted Saturday Night Live. He hosted, and he would have been 60.
Wow. And yeah, I saw that this week, right?
Yeah.
I mean, what a God-given talent.
Yeah.
And he was taken way too soon, but what a treasure for the state of Wisconsin.
Absolutely.
And America and the world, the mind, the talent of Chris Farley. Yeah. I mean, he could make me laugh almost anything he did.
Yeah. He was a good soul. He was a good man.
Yeah. I met him once at a political fundraiser tailgate in Madison, and he did the whole shtick of, you know, living by eating government cheese, living in the van down by the river. It was just to see him. And he did it. And of course, it was fantastic and people went crazy. And then you met him and he was just like, oh, hi, how are you?
Yeah.
He's like super shy and just chill. You know? Did you meet him, Greg?
I never got a chance to meet him. No. My friend was the recipient of the first Chris Farley scholarship at Marquette University.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. He's Chris Farley. He was amazing. So yeah, wanted to play that for you. You know,
I appreciate that, Greg. That's fantastic. So, Brittany Merlot, what can we expect the rest of the week here? After is it going to stay warm here the rest of the week for most of Wisconsin?
Well, it's definitely going to stay sunny all week long and into the weekend. So we have bright and beautiful skies. We'll be really warm, about 20 degrees above average today, soaring to the mid to upper 50s. And then tomorrow we'll drop just a few degrees. So mid to low 50s around the state, some upper 40s to the north. And we could see a little bit of some precipitation tonight down in towards Milwaukee, maybe Madison, just a little bit of sprinkles overnight, nothing major. Otherwise, a cooler Friday. Get ready for Friday. The winds are going to pull out of the north and drop us to highs in the upper 20s to low 30s. But we rebound for next week near 60. So
Yeah, oh my gosh, everywhere.
I mean, good gosh, in the 60s, we're still in February. That's just crazy, right? And then looking around the state of Wisconsin, DOT reporting some slippery stretches up in Door County, north of Green Bay, Highway 29 between Green Bay and Wausau. Then over parts of our area as well here in the Hayward area this morning. Those, and also over by the western part of the state along the Mississippi River, around and just north of La Crosse. Brittany, do you expect those road conditions will be better here later in the morning as temperatures kind of warm above freezing?
Yeah, absolutely. So they're seeing some patchy fog right now and some freezing mist. So it's creating some slick spots on untreated surfaces. So careful out there. But by 9 o'clock, those winds are going to start to push that fog out. Sun will come out and you'll be good to go.
All right.
We have our regular Rob Lehman always giving us the word report from Tigerton. Good morning from Tigerton. It's clear and 25 degrees. Yesterday was a beautiful day and set a record of 53. People were out there riding motorcycles, UTVs, and classic vehicles around. Thank you for reporting, Rob Lehman from Tigerton.
That's fantastic.
ATVs and UTVs, I know there's some discussions in Vilas County going on right now of snowmobiles. You know, the trails are only allowed to use snowmobiles in the winter, but they want to start using ATVs to keep that money going.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Greg and I were talking about it last hour that Governor Evers and others have pushed forward some emergency monies, at least temporarily, for folks in the tourism industry here in northern Wisconsin who have really felt the lack of tourism because of the lack of snow. So, I mean, hey, if they can get the ATVs going, at least that gives them something, right?
Absolutely. Thank goodness that's going through.
So, Brittany, here's first of all, I'm going to do some work on the air. This is fantastic. Well, not really fantastic, but because Todd procrastinated. Number one, what are you doing this afternoon? You want to come on our show and talk a little bit about El Nino later on?
Sure, absolutely.
All right, fantastic. I'll email you. I got your number.
Do you want me to get El Nino for an interview for you? I can
yes, that would be great if El Nino could stop by the afternoon show as well.
He's got nothing to do.
And here's really the question of the morning. Because on this February 21st, here are your national days today. First of all, not a sexy one at all. National Grain-Free Day. Who wants to be grain-free? Come on. But here's the great one. Today, February 21st, is National Sticky Bun Day. Sticky. So Brittany Merlot.
That's sexy.
Well, it could be. Certainly reminds me of my college days. But anyway, Brittany, are you a? Here's the question though: are you a sticky bun person or a cinnamon roll? Because they're not the same thing.
What is the difference?
Sticky buns have a lot more caramel, or some people say caramel, on them, where a cinnamon roll is more kind of sugar and cinnamon and lots of frosting on the top. So it's a slightly less sticky bakery item, where a sticky bun is more of that caramel on top with probably some pecans or something like that.
Okay, well, I've never had one of those, so I'm going to have to say cinnamon roll and try that.
You've never had a sticky bun?
I've never.
Brittany, today is National Sticky Bun Day. It's your day.
You've clearly offended Todd.
No, I'm not offended. I'm excited. I just wish I was there and could buy you your first sticky bun on National Sticky Bun Day and share it with El Nino.
I know, right?
He can't eat those. He's got a heart condition. He's got to lay off. He's got to be grain-free. He's got to be grain-free. This is his day.
All right, Brittany Merlot, thank you very much for bringing this El Nino. The Birkenbinder people are not happy, but we love you, so don't worry.
Thanks, guys. Right. You're the best.
Thanks a lot, night. Brittany Merlot. We'll be back with more on the other side with Greg Bach. We are live from Hayward here, and Greg is down in Waukesha. We'll tell you more about the 50th annual American Birkenbinder live here on Civic Media this morning, filling in for Pat Kreitlow. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Shaw, WAUK.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
Did you know there was a time when African Americans couldn't buy their own homes?
In 1948, the Supreme Court ruled the ban on selling property to black buyers was unconstitutional. Yet black people still couldn't purchase homes in white neighborhoods. The Fair Housing Act in 1968 ended this type of discrimination. But there's still work to do. Today, only 40% of black populations own their own homes. Listen for another Black History story here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Welcome back to Civic Media This Morning. I'm Todd Allball, in for Pat Quietlow at Up North News. Pat returns next week after some well-deserved time off. We are here in our beautiful studios in downtown Hayward, Wisconsin. We are truly up north this morning at WBZH, the buzz of the north. The sun is coming out. It is a beautiful morning here, as you can see if you're watching this on the stream on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, what have you. It is going to be a beautiful day here in Hayward. Perhaps, as Brittany Merlot just told us, our meteorologist, a bit too beautiful, as folks here in Hayward would prefer it to be below freezing today for the remainder of the day as they try to get in these events at the 50th annual America Birkebeiner. But they're going to do what they have to do, and events will continue, although be it a bit modified. Normally, the Birkebeiner would start in Cable, Wisconsin, about 20 miles, 22 miles north of here, and finish about a block or a half a block behind me out this window in downtown Hayward. But because of El Nino and the lack of snow, they have been making snow at various ski hills around the area up to an hour and a half, 2 hours away, and trucking snow in. And it is an elaborate process. I've visited some of the areas here over the last, we were up here about 3 weeks ago, kind of scouting things out. And there are people that have these cool snow plows in particular, not really a plow, but a trail plow that grooms these trails. And they are going to make it as good as possible, have the conditions as good as possible for these skiers who are coming in, cross-country skiers who are coming in from around the world, who are descending in the Hayward and Cable area for the 50th annual America Birkebeiner. So looking forward to that. The first race actually kicks off later this morning here in the area for the America Birkebeiner, and we'll have reports on that throughout the day, especially in our show from noon until 3 this afternoon here on Civic Media. So invite you to join us for that. As they say, the show must go on and the Birkebeiner must go on as well. Temperatures around the state at 22 past the hour of 7 o'clock range from, the teens, I think Brittany Merlot said here in this part of the state in some areas. But we are all the way now up to 27 here at in our studios at WBZH. And also we have temperatures in the 30s. Around 30 degrees in Green Bay and Wausau, and also near the La Crosse area as well. We get down to Madison and Milwaukee and also Racine and Kenosha. Temperatures already in the 40s. So certainly a big range of temperatures this morning across Wisconsin. Road conditions, those freezing conditions are causing for some slippery patches just north of Green Bay, also Highway 29, Green Bay to Wausau, and here in the Hayward area as well, and also over in La Crosse. But south of Wisconsin Dells, going to be pretty good for the most part. Also the Fox Valley in good winter driving condition this morning at 23 minutes past the hour of 7 o'clock. Baseball news, of course, pitchers and catchers have reported. The Brewers kick off their season spring training-wise this Saturday. You can hear that game across several of our Civic Media stations. Not on the app, though, because, of course, it is a major league game. The Bucks were off last night. Marquette will try to get back on the winning track tonight at home at Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee as they take on DePaul at 8 p.m. tonight. And the Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball team got back on the winning track last night as they beat Maryland by a score of 74-70. That's a quick sports update for you. Want to go to some news from the state of Wisconsin from yesterday, and it's going to tie in nicely with our guests after the bottom of the hour from the Wisconsin Education Network. This from WisPolitics overnight. The state assembly yesterday approved a bill to overhaul private school funding systems. The assembly bill passed by a vote of 64 to 35 along party lines to overhaul the funding system for the state's private school voucher programs, sending the measure to the state Senate. Representative Christina Shelton, Democrat of Green Bay, said she was frustrated. The chamber was discussing the bill, AB 900, arguing Republicans were prioritizing private schools instead of talking about public school needs. Shelton called the proposal, quote, pure politics. She questioned why the state hadn't acted on recommendations by the 2017 Blue Ribbon Commission on School Funding, led by co-author Representative Joel Kitchens in 2017, including 90% reimbursements for special education funding. Quote, this bill in front of us does nothing to address the bipartisan, consistent recommendations that the task force put together that still exist for our schools today, unquote. That according to Representative Shelton, Democrat of Green Bay. She brings up a great topic, a great point here, Representative Shelton does, and we're going to talk about it after the bottom of the hour with our guest from Wisconsin Education Network. And that is, while you hear a lot from Republicans about, oh, we put $300 per pupil into public education here in the last budget, what they don't talk about is the reimbursement for to local districts for special education funding. Unlike private schools, public schools have to take all the kids. I don't think a lot of people realize that a private school only takes kids who they want, who they deem fits their needs for their private school. But public education is public education. They have to take all the kids, and several of these kids with either learning or physical challenges require lots of money for either more staff or equipment or services. And that all comes out of the local school district. So who makes up that shortfall? It's the local property taxpayers of that local school district. And thus, why we had to go to a lot of referendums last night across the state of Wisconsin, and we're going to update you on some of those results after the bottom of the hour. Back to the story from WisPolitics, Representative Kitchens, Republican of Sturgeon Bay and chair of the Assembly Education Committee, said the bill yesterday would not expand the school choice program and would simply move the funding off the property tax rolls. Kitchen noted he had reached out to Governor Tony Evers' staff to get his support for the bill, but was told they were not interested in discussing the proposal. Quote, they don't want a solution to this problem. They want to just keep using it politically. So all these complaints about special ed and everything else we're here to talk about, but just don't complain about this, Kitchen said. AB 900 would decouple, quote unquote, the Racine and statewide private school voucher programs by replacing dollars for the state's voucher program paid through local property tax levies with state funding. The bill also includes a one-time revenue line adjustment equal to 25% of the impact of the school's tax levy to account for the change. But we're going to talk after the bottom of the hour here about this, Christina Shelton so accurately said, Democrat from Green Bay, the fact that it does not address the 90% reimbursement for special education funding. And it's a huge cost. And public schools do not have the choice that private schools have. So 844-967-2789 if you want to weigh in, although we're running a little bit short of time as Todd finally looks at the clock there. Sorry, Greg Bach, I get reading and get into these things.
You're good. You got it.
I lose track of time, you know. But such is life. We're going to come back and talk to folks from a Public Education Network on the other side. Don't go anywhere. We are live from downtown Green Bay. Hayward, more coffee, Todd. From the Birkenbinder, you're listening to Civic Media.
This is the Shaw, WAUK. Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Civic Media's Rich LoCascio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the Punching Bag or the Patsy or something.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Punching Bag, Pete Schwabba.
Now I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide as he got ready to wail on me.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
With the above-average temperatures Wisconsin's been enjoying lately, maybe your grilling season has got a jump start. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Wednesday. But boy, if you've been shopping at the grocery store, you know that beef prices are going to be at a premium this year. Kurt Larson, President CEO of the Equity Livestock Cooperative, says with tight cattle supplies across the United States, consumers can expect to spend a little bit more for beef on the grill. But he said there's always a deal.
I mean, it depends on what the demand is. Obviously, if there's product to be moved, the retailers get creative on how to do that. So, it depends on what cut you're looking for. You know, some of those high demand cuts are gonna continue to hold their value. Some of the maybe lesser demanded cuts, they're still gonna see some sales on those. And it's just a matter of what your appetite's for, and if you're willing to be a little bit flexible, I'm sure there will be some deals out there to be had.
Kurt Larson, President and CEO of the Equity Cooperative Livestock Sales Association. Beef cattle numbers across the United States are at historical lows not witnessed since about the 1950s.
Wisconsin Farm Bureau's grassroots policy really truly is a bottom-up process. This is truly started at the bottom by the members, for the members. It really does work its way up the chain because this is the core foundation of Farm Bureau. We truly are all-encompassing, and that's why I really believe in the Farm Bureau mission.
WFBF.com.
We are the voice of agriculture.
A voice for farmers. A vision for agriculture. Wisconsin Farm Bureau.
Rural Mutual Insurance. Keeping Wisconsin strong.
You may know Rural Mutual Insurance as the number one farm insurer, but did you know they also offer competitive home, auto, business, and life insurance? They make it convenient to bundle your insurance while saving you time and money. Visit ruralmutual.com to learn more.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Calling all high school seniors for calendar year 2024-2025. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection now accepting applications for their next Wisconsin Agriculture Youth Council. That will involve high school students who are seniors during the 2024-2025 school year from across the state. The goal of this youth council is to try to engage with young people, help them discover the opportunities that are out there with state government, as well as what the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection does that may also hold future career opportunities for them. Students serve a one-year term and receive a certificate at the completion of their terms. Find out more on the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection website. There's food news on a Wednesday. I'm PM Yonke.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
It is going to be mostly sunny and mild today. We'll get to around 54 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the southwest at 5 to 10. Tonight, mostly cloudy, 35. Tomorrow, a little light rain in the morning, then partly cloudy, 49. On Friday, sunny, 38. But we will bounce back with 40s and 50s into the weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm, built for real life.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Welcome back to Civic Media This Morning. In for Pat Kreitlow at Up North News. I'm Tom Allball here in our studios in Hayward, Wisconsin, as we prepare for the American Birkebeiner, the 50th anniversary of. Greg Bach, our producer, engineer, and co-host this morning, is in beautiful Waukesha, WAUK, the Shaw. It is 34 minutes past the hour of 7 o'clock. We are joined this morning, as Pat is each and every Wednesday morning, by folks from the Wisconsin Public Education Network, a great organization that I have gotten to know a little bit over the course of the last year. We are joined this morning by Bryn Borton and also Chris Hombach-Boyle this morning. Folks, thanks so much for taking the time to join us on a balmy February morning.
Thanks for having us.
It is a pleasure. We were talking just before the bottom of the hour break there about this bill that was discussed in the state assembly yesterday. It passed 64-35 along party lines, and it had to do with private schools. And Representative Christina Shelton, Democratic Green Bay, saying she was frustrated the chamber was discussing this bill, arguing that Republicans were prioritizing private schools instead of talking about public school needs. And we talked about this, you know, reimbursement for special education. Chris, talk to us just a little bit about your reflections on this bill and remind folks the burden on public school systems in regards to special education funding.
Well, you know, I always look at all of this stuff relative to the bills that get brought up and the conversation that goes around it, that it's so complicated and convoluted, it's hard to understand. Mm-hmm. But right now the bill is to decouple the funding for the voucher piece, which is there's three components to that voucher. So it isn't just money going to private schools. It's also money going to private schools for kids that have special needs. And it also is money going to new independent charter schools. And the voucher piece for special education right now is around 90%. And it's baked into state statute. So they're guaranteed that 90%, while your public schools, who take all kids and serve all kids with special needs, sit at about 30%. And so because of the funding that is so low and hasn't been fixed, we end up taking lots of money from the general fund in our public schools to make up that difference, because we are mandated by law, and right now private schools are not.
Last night, lots of referendums across the state of Wisconsin, and Bryn, some well passed, some didn't, but this is why we have to have so many referendums, is because the funding for public school continues to come up short, particularly from the Republican-controlled legislature. Give folks an update, Bryn, on some of the highlights and lowlights of last night's election results.
Yeah, I'm going to pass that to Chris because she's got all of that referendum information right now.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize.
No, that's okay.
I should have looked at my notes better. Well, Bryn, give us kind of the, I know you have to hop off here in a minute, but give us a other legislative update from things that you're watching at the Wisconsin Public Education Network.
Yeah, I mean, I think the main point right now is our legislature is very quickly wrapping up their session for the rest of the year. The understanding is that the assembly will gavel out at the end of their last floor session tomorrow and will not go back into session until they have elections and possibly new representatives elected next January. Mm-hmm. So any chance that we have of getting bills through the assembly will be tomorrow. So they are going fast and furious. I think they were there until the wee hours last night talking bills and passing a lot of school district mandates. I'm on a school board here in Sun Prairie, so I take it very personally that they spend a lot of time mandating things for school districts to do when we talk a lot about local control of school districts. So one of the things that passed yesterday was this mandated half credit of civics education, with specific curriculum that they need to, that districts need to do. There was passage of competitive bidding, requiring school districts to go to competitive bidding and always take the lowest bidder during that process. There was legislation about mandating cursive writing in the elementary school levels. So lots of crazy stuff. that doesn't necessarily help our schools dig out of the holes that they have gotten into with the fiscal cliff and the ESSER monies disappearing, which is why we're having to go to referendum at a crazy rate this year.
And when you talk about that, Brent, I mean, on its face, I mean, I'm one that says I wish that we'd be teaching more civics in school. I got no problem with that. And so you think on the face, well, this is great. We're going to teach our kids about civics. But to your point, what we don't talk about is, all right, what does that mean for the local school district? Do they have to add another position or a halftime position? Who's going to fund that? Who's going to fund the benefits for that position? And if we're funding that mandated position, what other position is going to get cut at the local level to balance things out?
Yeah, and I think it's, in the state of Wisconsin, to me, it's very hard when we mandate things to school districts because our school districts are so different. Mm-hmm. You know, you go from a small school district, Washington Island, of 50 students to Milwaukee Public Schools of 68,000 students. And so the opportunities that districts have to hire staff and be able to have that space in their day and their curriculum to be able to teach things that are required already, I think is hard. And the more you require, the harder it gets for schools to be able to follow through with those. And the large majority of districts already teach civics because kids are required to pass a civics test in order to graduate. So the majority of districts are already doing some type of civics education so kids can pass that test.
What about, cursive writing? I can't remember the last time I actually wrote cursively. Again, it seems like there are other things that we could be teaching our kids that are much more helpful, whether or not they're going to go into college or tech school or whatever, besides saying, again, we have to mandate now amongst everything else that public educators have to get in their day. Now we're going to go back and say, we have to mandate cursive writing?
Yeah, and part of that cursive writing bill, too, I thought was really interesting was it not just having to teach it, but also kids have to show that they're good at it. And so there's a part of that, yeah, that there's some type of
I'd like to see these people
needing to be done.
I think we should give a writing test to the state legislature and see how many. Believe me, I worked for a few. I will tell you, you know, it was like Morse code. It's a secret. It's basically shorthand legislative writing, cursive writing. So
well, I do think my favorite bill this session that I saw come up that didn't get a hearing, of course, was having teachers at the minimum starting teacher salary be equal to the salary of the state legislature.
That's good.
Which I thought was wonderful, especially since this year they're working 2 months and then they're going back to their homes and getting ready to campaign. So
right. Very good point. Eddie, I know you have to hop off here. You have other things. We really appreciate you taking the time. Any other things from a legislative side or things you want to share with our statewide audience when it comes to public education?
No, I just think this session was kind of a crazy session for education. They had, we've been tracking over 200 bills right now in various introductions and states and places. And it's kind of hard to believe that after tomorrow that all goes away and we have to sit around and wait and see what everybody decides to do next time.
And I think really though, I unfortunately, I don't hold a lot of hope out for one more day with Republicans in control of the legislature. But I think what this sets up, and if the maps that Governor Evers signed into law this week hold, I think they will. I think it does give people something to run on moving into November this fall and really, again, bring it home and hold people accountable who are running for office, saying what specifically are you going to do to help our local school district?
Yeah, absolutely.
Very good. Bryn Borton, I appreciate you taking the time this morning. We appreciate you being here. Have a wonderful day, and thanks for taking the time this morning on, we'll call it Civic Media This Morning, but it's basically Up North News. Pat will be back next week.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, thank you so much, Bryn. Appreciate it.
Bye.
Also, have a nice day. Also, Chris Hombach-Boyle joins us. Chris, you have the details for us, as the kids say, the 411. I don't know if they still say that. But you have all the details for us. Lots of referendums on public education last night. Give us some of your highlights from the last night's results.
Well, I stayed up so that I could put this together for you this morning.
God love you.
We had Burlington, Cumberland, Menominee, River Falls, Shiocton, Waterford, and Wilmot go for referendums during the election yesterday. On the list, which I can share with you, and you can take a look at that over time, mm-hmm. We have many, many more going in April, and the November referendums still are not needed to be out there yet. So there'll be hundreds of school districts going to referendum. There were 10 questions across those seven districts. Four of the 10 passed for a 40% passage rate, which was, for me, very disappointing last night. And they were both operational and capital referendums. Capital being money that they needed to keep up their buildings and their infrastructure, and operational to do their day-to-day work.
And that's, you know, that's something that is always hard for me to understand, that some people at General Electric can't understand, don't get, that these are not for exorbitant salaries. These aren't for a bunch of perks. This is just to keep the kids in your school district safe, in some cases, in buildings, and to maintain the status quo.
And many of these were tiny districts. They were small. So then you think about what is this impact going to be over time? For example, I wrote down Burlington. They went for an operational maintenance referendum, and they asked for $6 million for this coming year, $3 million for the year after that, $1 million for the year after that, and $1 million for a year after that, just to make ends meet. Mm-hmm. That's not a lot when you look at what the, thank you, my husband serves me coffee. That was nice.
What a nice guy. That's nice. Fantastic. Your husband serves you coffee in the morning.
That was pretty good. So, you know, you can see how devastating not passing a referendum would be. And I hope civic media follows some of these districts down the road as to what this actually means once a ref doesn't pass.
Right. And so at Burlington last night, it's kind of the screen's far away from me. So Burlington did or did not pass the referendum?
They did not pass it.
Yeah.
So I can tell you the specifics on those districts if you want to know what that looks like.
Yeah, I'm interested in Burlington because I have a good friend who teaches there, and I know the insight from him was that if the Burlington referendum did not pass last night, it could very well mean that all or nearly all other extracurriculars were going to be cut, including high school football, by the way.
And so then you see the frustration in your conversation at the beginning about the voucher pieces, mm-hmm. and the fact that they're trying to pass legislation to shore up that decouple bill will put that funding in a dark hole, and you know that won't let taxpayers know what's going on anymore, really.
And the irony is, of course, that Burlington is in the heart of Speaker Robin Voss's assembly district, at least for now. Yeah. About 2 minutes left here. We are talking with Chris Hombach-Boyle from the Wisconsin Public Education Network. About 90 seconds left. Chris, any highlights that you want to make sure people know about?
Well, I would like to talk a little bit about the network and the information that we can provide for people. We are fiercely nonpartisan. We like to provide the deep information that people need to really understand public school funding. You can go to our website, wisconsinnetwork.org, connect with us. I'm the Northwest Wisconsin organizer. I hit all the way from La Crosse to Wausau to Iron County to Superior. And we try to really just help people and going to referendum, running for school board, that sort of thing.
Sounds great. You guys do a great work. And where can they find you again if they dial you up on the old www?
WisconsinNetwork.org.
WisconsinNetwork.org.
The voucher piece is in there too. There's an accountability site. Go in there. We can individually pull up each school district and you can see what their impact is for the voucher piece that is legislated and in state statute.
That's a great hit for people, again, as we approach campaigns, elections this fall, find out what's happening in your area. Chris Hombach-Boyle from Wisconsin Public Education Network, thank you so much for getting up early, as you guys do each and every Wednesday with Pat. He'll be back with you next week. You guys will be back as well. Thank you so much for a great day.
Thanks, Civic Media.
Our pleasure. We're back to wrap things up with Mr. Greg Bach on Civic Media This Morning, live from Hayward on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Can you predict the future? I can't. That's why when I'm planting soybeans, I treat with Heads Up Seed Treatment.
With more than 15 years of research, Heads Up offers proven protection against both white mold and sudden death syndrome. So no matter what the year throws at you, you've already taken that first step to be prepared. Don't let your beans suffer from disease when they're just starting to look their best. Tell your seed dealer you need Heads Up seed treatment. Learn more at headsupst.com.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Civic Media this morning. We are live in Hayward, Wisconsin with a gravelly voice. Pardon me, Greg Box. Sorry about that. Todd Alball here in downtown Hayward at our studios at WBZH for the 50th annual American Birkebeiner. Greg Bach at WAUK and Waukesha. Gearing up later this morning for Matt Nair on the air with Jane and Greg. Anything of note you want to promote here coming up later on this morning?
We got Brittany Merlot stopping by as well. She's just coming by all day long.
She's a rock star.
I know. We're going to be talking about some really fun topics today. We'll probably be talking about the election yesterday. And, yeah, it'll be a really fun time taking your calls, your texts. It's fun to see some of the same faces in the live stream that we have during our show. And we got... some comments here is, let's see here. Here's one. Why is there a pile of wood in the WBZH studio? Is that to smoke out the mosquitoes?
No, it's for a fireplace.
You have a fireplace?
Well, we're in Hayward, for goodness sake. We're here for the Birkebeiner. So you got to keep, we don't need it today because it's warm, but you know, you got to be ready.
Is Andy Williams there too? Is...
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
We also, I wanted to read this before too. In the very beginning of the show, we were talking about pizza. We were talking about bowling alleys, and I told you that I was a bowling kid for nearly 16 years.
Yeah,
and a texter from the 414 listening to WAUK. On Civic Media said, also a bowling kid. The local alley would give us free games over the summer based on your grades. Folks would drop us off and tell us to bowl some games and keep us entertained during the summer months.
Look at that.
I love that. We should need to bring that back.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, we should visit wouldn't that be a great segment? Visit bowling alleys across the state of Wisconsin. I think one of the oldest ones is still in Milwaukee.
Yeah, well,
in the country.
I think you're talking about Causes. It's a mini bowling alley. So okay. It's mini balls. And they actually have someone who sets up the pins by hand.
Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't that fantastic?
Yep. It's really cool. But yeah, Todd and Greg go bowling. I'll do it.
I'm down.
We interview people of note from Wisconsin, political leaders, community leaders, all while bowling.
53 minutes past the hour of 7 o'clock. Coming up next across much of the Civic Media Radio Network, our friend Earl Ingram with the Earl Ingram Show and Kelvin as well. So always a great program. So be tuned in for Earl Ingram. And then, of course, Jane and Greg follow that with Matt Nair on the air. And we are back here live from Hayward from noon until 3 this afternoon. So looking forward to that, talking to some local people in Hayward. Remember, temperatures vary across the state of Wisconsin, still in the upper 20s to around that freezing degree mark in parts of northern Wisconsin, Amory over to Park Falls and down to parts, well, not so much Green Bay proper, but just north of Green Bay, and also at the Eagle over there in our station in La Crosse. Going to find some slippery stretches on roads, at least until around 9:30. That's according to our meteorologist, Brittany Merlot. The rest of the state, Fox Valley, South Madison, WMDX, over to WAUK in Waukesha, Milwaukee, and WRJN, Racine, Kenosha, all those areas this morning in good winter driving condition, because quite frankly, it feels a lot more like spring driving condition in that part of the state this morning. So, and don't forget, I asked Brittany, Greg Bach, it is National Sticky Bun Day. Are you a sticky bun guy or a cinnamon roll guy?
I'm going to go sticky bun. I love caramel.
I know, right? It's good.
Cinnamon buns are just too much. It's just, it just makes me...
To me, I think this is great. You hit on something, because for me, cinnamon rolls, it comes down to two things for me. The ratio of sugar to cinnamon in the roll, and then the frosting.
Yes.
It can't be overly sweet.
No.
But you want a nice consistency of the frosting.
Agreed.
So, yeah. So it's National Sticky Bun Day today. That's the big news. So get out there and, participate, if nothing else.
And enjoy. For all of our grain-free friends, it's your day.
Grain-free. National Grain-Free Day. I mean, I know there are people that, like, you know, have issues. I get that. But, I mean, I don't know. Enjoy some good bread, for goodness sake.
That might hurt their body, Todd. I know you have celiac disease and being around gluten might harm you. But here, have a biscuit. Just buck up and be a man.
I don't know. I need more sleep, I guess. I don't know. I was going after people that leave their ice shanties on the ice too long yesterday. I said, do we really feel sorry for these people? I mean, because here's my take on this. I mean, if there's open water on part of the lake, and you're like, well, geez, I'll just go around that to put my ice shanty on. I mean, I don't feel sorry for you if you fall in. I mean, yep, right?
Absolutely.
And then our great EMS people and first responders have to go out and pull your rear end out of the ice because you were too much of a dope not to stay off.
I didn't think it'd be a problem.
Right. Exactly. I said yesterday, well, you know, the old David Letterman bit, will it float? So let's see, will they float? Turns out, nope, too much line in Kugel's, not going to float. Well, enjoy your day, Greg Bach. I know you got a couple hours until you and Jane are going to be on the air. We will be back tomorrow filling in for Pat Kreitlow. He is back next week. We're going to be here tomorrow morning. We'll do it all over again from our studios here Hayward. Talking about the Birkenbeiner and all kinds of more information to start off the day, weather as well. So looking forward to that. And I'll be back with you later on today at around, at noon.
It's going till,
you actually have to follow a clock.
And going till 3 o'clock nonetheless, too.
Yes. Yes. Going to 3 o'clock.
Then take a nap, dude.
I kind of get one of these grooves where if you nap too much, then it's actually worse. You know what I mean?
I'm not telling you to take a 3-hour nap, buddy. I'm just saying, hey, take a 25-minute power nap. Recharge those batteries.
Do you do those?
I do.
Can you do a power nap?
Yeah. I have to take a nap not every day, but a couple times a week I have to nap because I have long work days.
Do you ever nap between this show and Matt and Aaron Air?
No. As soon as I walk out of the studio, I start prepping for 10 a.m. Yeah.
Wouldn't it be great if you just, like, if Jane came in and you were curled up in the fetal position and just, like, with a blanket?
Have I fallen asleep while prepping for Matt and Aaron Air? Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's fantastic. Well, Greg and I will get some coffee, and Matt and Aaron and Greg will be ready for Matt and Aaron on air here in a couple of hours. Earl Ingram is next across much of the Civic Media Radio Network, and I'll be back for a nooner with you from noon until 3. So looking forward in nervous anticipation to that. And, of course, we'll see you right back here bright early tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock for Civic Media This Morning as we fill in for Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Thanks, Greg Bach, for being fantastic and for a great show. Thanks to all of our guests from the Wisconsin Public Radio Network, Wisconsin Public Education Network. Get it right yet. And, of course, most of all, thanks to all of you for listening and for your comments along the way. We wish you a fantastic...
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM.
Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Hey, everybody, it's Todd Allball. Noon till 3 on Wednesday, we are downtown Hayward, Wisconsin for the 50th Annual American Birkenbeiner on Civic Media.
I joined the Carpenters Union 15 years ago as an apprentice, got free training, and have been able to advance. Now I'm a superintendent running high-profile projects in Milwaukee that change the city skyline. I'm looking for skilled and experienced carpenters. If you want to join my team with great pay, better benefits, and a chance to advance, apply today. Call 262-970-5777 and press 0 to apply. That's 262-970-5777 and press 0.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Drenching storms have finally moved out, and now Californians are facing the damage. This woman's trudging through knee-deep water to